Let me invite you to open your Bibles to the 15th chapter of the book of Acts. I need to say before we get into our sermon that unfortunately I was attending one of my granddaughter's graduations in Mill Valley last Friday. And we went out to lunch after that, and somebody broke into the car and stole my briefcase. Now, the briefcase was lost by itself, but in the briefcase was my computer and my Bible and today's sermon. So we won't have the PowerPoint, which we normally do, and we won't maybe be as organized as we normally would be. But nonetheless, God is going to, I think, open up for us what he wants for us to know from the book of Acts in the 15th chapter. But I'm going to be reading from that 15th chapter, beginning with the 36th verse and down to the 41st verse. Listen to the word of God. After some days, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us return and visit the brothers in every city where we proclaim the word of God and see how they are doing." Now Barnabas wanted to take with them John called Mark, but Paul thought best not to take with them one who had withdrawn from them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. And there arose a sharp disagreement, so that they separated from each other. Barnabas took Mark with him and sailed away to Cyprus. But Paul chose Silas and departed, having been commended by the brothers to the grace of the Lord. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. Amen. One of the things I do, usually around January, right after Christmas, is read my favorite book, Alice in Wonderland Through the Looking Glass. This is a good theology. This is a theology according to Lewis Carroll. This is a conversation that Humpty Dumpty is having with Alice. And Humpty Dumpty says, "Now there's glory for you." "I don't know what you mean by glory," Alice said. Humpty Dumpty smiled contemptuously. "Of course you don't, till I tell you. I meant, there's a nice knockdown argument for you." "But glory doesn't mean a nice knockdown argument," Alice objected. "When I use a word," Humpty Dumpty said in a rather scornful tone, "it means just what I choose it to mean, neither more nor less." "The question is," said Alice, "whether you can make words mean so many different things." "Question is," said Humpty Dumpty, "which is to be the master? That's all." Well, we are reading about a nice knockdown argument in the Bible. Matter of fact, this is the third nice knockdown argument that Paul and Barnabas, these partners in the Lord, experience. You may remember 2 weeks ago, Paul and Barnabas are in Lystra, where they see a lame man, and the man was lame since he was born, and then Paul tells the man, "I heal you in the name of Jesus Christ." The man jumps up and he walks away. People are so impressed they begin to worship Paul and Barnabas, saying that Barnabas is Zeus and Paul is Hermes, the son of Zeus, and they begin to bow down and make sacrifices to them. And Paul and Barnabas say, "Oh, no, you got this all wrong. Now, you don't worship us. You worship Jesus Christ, who heals people. Jesus Christ does." Well, the crowd is so upset when they're being rejected, their worship's being rejected, they stone Paul, and they drag him out of town thinking that he's dead. That's the first knockdown, drag-out argument. The second one is, Paul and Barnabas now hear about that down in Jerusalem, they are making decisions about who is really a Christian. You heard about this last Sunday. That down there in Jerusalem, there are some who are saying, if you want to be a Christian, you must first become a Jew. And if you're a male, you need to get circumcised, and you need to keep all the Sabbath days and all the holy days, and you need to, well, basically, you need to become a Jew if you want to become a Christian. Others down in Jerusalem are saying, no, 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 that's all wrong. If you want to be a Christian, you simply believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you are saved. That was the knockdown, drag-out argument. And Paul and Barnabas go down to Jerusalem, and they negotiate with those in Jerusalem, and they bring about peace and a reconciliation with a common understanding that you don't have to become a Jew in order to become a Christian. You simply need to confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Now we're looking at a third nice knockdown argument, only this time it's between two individuals, Paul and Barnabas. That's a little bit different than the others because all the other arguments, well, they were resolved by looking within what Scripture said. And when they read Scripture, they said, aha, the solution to this knockdown argument is such and such. But how do you find in the Bible this, well, the solution to an argument between two individuals? As a matter of fact, this is not a garden variety argument. The Greek word is paroxysmos. Paroxysmos, that means a really tough knockdown argument. Oxymus, the argument. Para, that's really arguing. Well, and so they have this argument. And they have this argument over whether or not this young man named John Mark is to go with them on their second missionary journey. Now, John Mark is a Christian. In fact, he probably was a Christian longer than Paul was. He was younger than Paul, younger, a lot younger than Barnabas. In fact, he was Barnabas' cousin. And John Mark probably was with Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. But nonetheless, Mark went on with Paul and Barnabas on the first missionary journey. And when they got to Perga, Mark decided he didn't like the mission very much anymore. And he went home. Now, we don't know why he decided to quit the team and go back to Antioch. It was just kind of like, well, it's not fun anymore, and I'm going home. Or maybe it was harder than he thought. Or maybe he got homesick. Oh, I want my mommy. I don't know. We don't know why he went, but we know he left. And he left Paul and Barnabas high and dry, unable to replace him. It's too far into the mission to bring somebody else on board. So now they're about to start the second missionary journey, and Barnabas says, I got a good idea. And Paul says, what? Let's take Mark. And Paul says, are you kidding me? I will take anybody except Mark. He's a loser. He abandoned us before. He's going to abandon us again. You know, once burned, twice shy. Barnabas says, well, oh, no, no, you got to let boys be boys. I mean, you know, forgive and forget. I mean, bygones be bygones. What you'd probably expect from Barnabas, whose name means son of compassion, son of caring. So they have this argument. And the question is, what do we do now? I am so grateful this 15th chapter is in our Bible. Because Paul and Barnabas show us how we can live our life in reality. Yes, where there are nice knockdown arguments. Now, Paul may have said, I believe in the faithfulness of theology. You see, I turned to the Bible. The Bible says, don't quit. I mean, we just had deacons here. They took vows and go, look, don't quit. And Barnabas can say, well, I believe in the theology of forgiveness. And that's where I'm coming out. So they have this conflict. There are three things I think we can lift up out of this 15th chapter that I pray will be a blessing to our own lives. The first is, there are three lessons. The first is that there is a differentiation that is being made between theological differences and personal differences. And they're not mixed up into one another. That there are obviously honest differences of opinion. In this case, about Mark. And whether Mark should be taken on this missionary journey or not. That's the difference. It's important that this difference was kept as a personal difference of opinion between Paul and Barnabas and not a theological difference within the church. That's a huge thing to learn from this 15th chapter. In fact, let me give you some advice as families. One of the things that I've learned is that you want to make sure that your family, when it gets into crises, and your family will, if your family does not get into crisis, I remember Chet and Elias were married for 50 years. And I remember Chet getting up in that ceremony. We had a big potluck dinner in the basement of our Boise church. And he said, "Well, all the years Elias and I have been married, we never had one argument." I said, "Poor Elias. She was just simply ignored for 50 years. You're going to have conflict in your marriage. You're going to have conflict in your family. The important thing is to make sure that you recognize what is really important and what is not important. Recognize the difference between the theological differences and the personal differences. That when you make the personal become the theological, that's when people get hurt. Remember what is significant and what isn't. The second thing I think is that this argument between Paul and Barnabas, the Antioch church did not let it become the church's problem. How easy that would have been. Oh, so who do you think is right? You think Paul is right? After all, Mark abandoned them, you know. Or do you think Barnabas is right? Because you know he is a very caring person, and he wants to give Mark a second chance. What are you? Are you a Paul person? Are you a Barnabas person? Oh, come on, take pick. The Antioch church did not let that happen. Matter of fact, what the church says, we're not going to take sides. In fact, what we're going to do is, Barnabas, you got a job to do that we ordained you to do. You are going to go on a second missionary journey with Mark. You want Mark? You've got him. Take him with you. And Paul, you're going to go on a different missionary journey. You don't want Mark? Don't take him. Why don't you take Silas? He's a good guy. Take him on your missionary journey. So Paul and Silas go off to Cilicia, and Barnabas and Mark, they go off to Cyprus. And guess what? The mission has doubled. And the glory of God is doubled. And the church in Antioch was not damaged. That's true also in our families. When you have difference of opinion, don't take them to the kids and go, "You pick, who's right, mommy or daddy?" Oh, you pick. Oh, mommy's right because these things are really true, don't you think? Oh, daddy's really right because these are the things that are really true, don't you think? Don't triangulate. If it's a problem between two individuals, keep it as a problem between two individuals. Don't triangulate your family. Don't triangulate your marriage. Don't triangulate your neighborhood. Don't triangulate your church. Don't triangulate your best friends, or not even your enemies. You keep it where it belongs, like Paul and Barnabas did. Matter of fact, Paul says in the 6th chapter of 1 Corinthians, well worth taking a look at, says, you know what, you Christians, you're going to secular people, secular courts, to resolve your conflicts. Shame on you. Shame on you, because If you can't solve it, what makes you think they can solve it for you? You know Jesus Christ. Better, and this is really fascinating, better that you should lose the argument than that you should go to the secular people that try to help you solve it. Wow. And the third thing is that remember what's really critical. Major in the majors and minor in the minors. Our tendency is to do, of course, the exact opposite. We major in the minors and we minor in the majors. I remember the story of Chet. I was talking about Chet earlier, celebrating his 50th wedding anniversary with Eliza. Well, I remember after that ceremony, I was talking to Chet. I was saying, Chet, you know, 50 years, that's a long time. Actually, it's a lot shorter. I'm celebrating my 50th wedding anniversary throughout this rest of this year. Chet, how did you do that? I mean, 50 years, that's a long time. One person, you and Eliza. He said, early on in our marriage, we made an agreement that I would be in charge of the major things and she would be in charge of the minor things. And I said, well, that sounds like a good arrangement. I said, so what were the minor things that Eliza was in charge of? He said, well, she'd decide what we'd have for dinner. She would decide what house we were living in. She would decide how many children we were going to have. She would decide what car we would buy. I said, those are the minor things? Well, what are the major things? Well, the things that I decided, the major things, whether we should be in Afghanistan or not, whether or not climate change is really important, and who should be the next president of the United States. Whatever kept the peace, it's important to know what are the majors and what are the minors. For the Apostle Paul and Barnabas, whether John Mark went on this mission with them fit into the minor category and not the major category. What was the major? The major was sharing the good news of Jesus Christ with the world. That was the major. And that was not worth sacrificing over an argument whether John Mark was going to go on a mission trip. There is no argument you can have worth destroying your marriage over. None. Let me repeat that. There is no argument, there is no difference of opinion that you could possibly have worth sacrificing your marriage for. What's the major? Your marriage. Everything else is the minor. Thank God for the 15th chapter of Acts. We might have thought a lot of other things would fit into the major category. Well, then the second gift, I think, that we gain from this text is that the crisis, whatever that crisis is between Barnabas and Paul, didn't seem to bother the Holy Spirit. It didn't bother God. In fact, God uses his argument for good. Can you imagine? A nice knockdown argument God uses for good. So, John Mark goes off with Barnabas to Cyprus, and then he joins up with Peter, and then, get this, he joins up with Paul. As Paul languishes in jail in Rome, there Mark is. Oh, did I mention Mark also wrote the Gospel of Mark? What would have happened if Paul had prevailed, John Mark had been left at home, and that was the end of his ministry? What would have been different in Christianity today? Because they were able and willing to let the Holy Spirit predominate in their situation, Christianity is different today. Now, the ecclesiastical idealist might find that a problem. That there should be within a church, by these two leaders in the church, Paul and Barnabas, that there should be this disagreement. I mean, this serious disagreement. Paroxysmus, oh no! I thought you were all nice to each other. But you know what? God doesn't seem to be upset. God uses Mark. He uses Paul. He uses Barnabas. He uses Silas. But it's easy for us to think that somehow all of that becomes irrelevant if there's a disagreement. You see, Paul and Barnabas, they go out to Lystra, and that's where, remember, they heal the lame, and the people begin to worship Paul and Barnabas, and Paul and Barnabas say, no, don't worship us. Worship Jesus Christ. Whack, home run. Then they go to Jerusalem, this argument within Christians about whether or not you had to be a Jew before you became a Christian, and Paul and Barnabas went down and said, no, Jesus Christ is the center part. Whack, home run. And then they had this argument about John Mark. Oops. It's all invalid now. Doesn't count. Whatever happened before doesn't matter. Last 2 weeks ago, we received some of you into new membership here at First Presbyterian Church. I don't know if you remember it, but we asked them some questions too, just like we did with the deacons today, only different questions. We asked them some questions too. Now, it's important we remember those questions, but it's even more important remember what we didn't ask them. We did not ask them, what do you think about Dr. Baird? That wasn't one of the questions, thank God. We didn't ask them, what do you think about the session? What do you think about so-and-so who sits in the back pew every Sunday? We didn't ask those questions. Why? Because they're not important. Well, what did we ask them? We asked them this. Who is your Lord and Savior? And they all said, Jesus Christ. And then they were asked, do you trust him? They said, yes. And then they were asked, do you want to be his disciple and follow him in every way? And they all said, yes. And we said, welcome into the First Presbyterian Church of Fairbanks. Those are the important questions. And that was the questions that were being asked in those days as Paul and Barnabas were suffering through their disagreement. To you parents, to you children, I'd say, remember what is really important in your family. Remember, there isn't going to be anything that is so important to destroy the family over. Or to say, you did this, I'm not going to trust you anymore. I can't trust you, you're just totally untrustworthy. I can't put up with this anymore. But instead to say, God put this marriage together. God created this family, and he did so for a good reason. And he called me to be a part of it, and because I'm a part of it, I will do everything I can to preserve it, and to make it a healthy place for everybody who's a part of it. You know, the most wonderful gift you can give to your children is to let them know that when they fail, that when they sin against God, that there is a loving God who forgives them and renews them and makes them whole again. Their participation in the family, whether it be the family of God in the church or whether it be the family of God, the nuclear family, does not depend upon their perfection. It depends upon the love of Jesus Christ. G.K. Chesterton, who was a kind of the mentor to C.S. Lewis, wrote in 1924, after the First World War, what the Europeans call the Great War, because there was a great debate going on about whether or not that war, which was fought by 100% Christian nations, I mean, Russia and Germany and Poland and France and England and the United States, all Christian nations. And you say, and some were saying, you see, all these people who claimed Jesus Christ, they were killing each other. And G.K. Chesterton wrote, "As for the general view that the church and the gospel are discredited by the war, they might as well say that the ark was discredited by the flood. The church is not discredited by the war, any more than the ark is discredited by the flood. The ark simply proves that there's a need for an ark. The existence of the flood proves that if there wasn't an ark, everybody, all Noah and his family, would have been drowned. The ark proved the need for salvation. The war proved the need for the church and for faith in Jesus Christ and for forgiveness and for the ability to be able to get past the impassable. That's the role of the ark. And thank God for this 15th chapter, because without it, we might think that somehow all we need is just simply to belong to the church. You see, that's the third thing I think we lift out of this 15th chapter of the book of Acts. You see, without the 15th chapter, we might think that Paul and Barnabas are so nice, they get along so well, they only hit home runs. They're just constantly loving and caring and reaching out, and that's what the church is. And we might come to the conclusion that if the church is anything else, somehow it has failed. And then we get to the 15th chapter, praise God. And we discover that, no, actually, Paul and Barnabas had their flaws. And that's all right. And that's okay. And thank goodness there was a Paul and a Barnabas who failed. Because that means that you and I can also fail. If anybody is going to become a Christian, it won't now be because of Paul. If anybody is going to become a Christian, it's not because of Barnabas. If anybody is going to become a Christian, it's not because of the church. If anybody is going to become a Christian, it's simply because of Jesus Christ. That's it. And to keep our focus there and our attention there, let everything else take care of itself in its own way. Where there are disagreements, let the disagreements and the disagreeers reconcile. Not taking sides, not participating in their disagreement, but focusing on who we are. What God has created us to be. You know, God can use our differences. Yes, even our nice, knock-down arguments to glorify Him. There's glory for you. Your nice, knock-down arguments. Prove. Power of Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, it's a sense of some degree of failure that we come before you knowing that we have participated in nice knockdown arguments. But we also come to you knowing that you can turn those into glory. We ask, O Lord, that you do that in us, among us, and throughout the community we live in. In the name of Christ Jesus, amen.